Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's a joy to be able to communicate through this modern means of sharing the gospel of Christ, this modern means of opening up the scriptures and sharing what you would have for all of us to learn on this Sunday morning. Lord, this is a special Sunday morning. This is Mother's Day, and we certainly desire that all our mothers have a blessed day. And I know that some older mothers might not be able to have any of their children or grandchildren around them because they're secluded in nursing homes and unable to have family come in to see them, maybe only to stand outside of a glass window and look in from the outside. But Father, I pray that you would just give them a special blessing, that you would encourage their hearts, that there might be some programs that go on inside these nursing homes and retirement centers that would lift up their spirits and remind them that they're very, very special. We certainly love our mothers, and we appreciate their nurturing, their part in bringing us up. Father, we just thank you and praise you for their lives and their love for us, and we are thankful that we can spend some time talking about mothers today in our lesson. We just ask your blessing as we open up the scriptures. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would, please turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The title of my lesson today is Women Aging Gracefully. It's a Mother's Day message. It's going to focus on women who are to age in a way that they're a blessing to their children and to their grandchildren. They're a blessing to other women in the church. They're a blessing to their husbands and to those that watch them and see their godliness. Well, if you have your Bibles, follow along as I read in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Verse 3, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know, several years ago I read the story about a woman by the name of Pat Moore. This was when she was 26 years old. She conducted a remarkably interesting experiment. She was an industrial designer, and she wanted a better understanding of senior women. And so she disguised herself as an 85-year-old woman, and what she would do was she would travel to various cities around the country, and she would live out that persona in those cities. She aged herself with professional makeup, and she donned herself with a gray wig. She even wore very thick glasses that hindered her vision quite a bit, and she wore a brace on her body that caused it to be a little twisted, and also it reduced her normal walk to a weary shuffle. And she visited 116 different cities, and she had this elderly persona as she walked, as she rode buses, as she flagged down cabs, as she visited parks. And you know what she discovered? She discovered that there was tremendous compassion shown to her by other seniors, but she was often treated harshly by those who were younger. She was mugged in one city by a group of 13-year-olds, and it was so bad of a mugging that she suffered permanent damage to her back and she was left unable to bear children. And in her book entitled Disguised, she writes how shocked and saddened she was to discover how many elderly people are treated and neglected by those who are younger. And interestingly, she learned one thing while in character, and this is the only one variable which was a reliable predictor of how the aged are treated. And this is what she discovered. And she writes this in her book on page 64, that deeply religious people tend to be more caring and more aware of the needs of older people. You know, I don't find that too surprising because the Bible everywhere exhorts God's people to honor those that are older. In fact, I would encourage anyone who's under 60 to put into practice what Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 states, that the young are to rise in the presence of the aged and show respect to the elderly and to fear God. That is something that the young should do when they are in the presence of someone who is older than they. Older men and women have a wealth of wisdom to share with those that are younger, and we should applaud those that are older for their spiritual leadership and their discipleship. While our culture communicates that older men and women are basically put on the shelf or need to be put on the shelf, they're washed up and they're not that useful anymore, Scripture teaches the complete opposite of that. Scripture teaches us that they have a tremendous ministry in the Church of Christ. They have a tremendous ministry to those that are younger in the faith. Paul's challenge to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 9 that I just read to you, he begins by saying that you are to speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That is godly teaching that will grow men and women, young people, to a better understanding on how to live out their godly life in a fallen world. This speaks on how older men and women are to live out their lives as well in a fallen world. On this lovely Mother's Day, we're going to consider Paul's counsel as to how women are to age gracefully. And there are three key character qualities that I want to share with you in verses 3 through 5. The first one is that a woman aging gracefully is a godly example to follow. And then secondly, we're going to look at the fact that a woman aging gracefully is to have a godly mission to fulfill. And then thirdly, a woman aging gracefully has a perspective to keep. Well, let's take a look at that first point here for today. A woman aging gracefully is a godly example to follow. And this is stated for us in verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. Here is, in this verse, older women are given four godly behaviors that they are to put into practice. And the first one has to do with reverence. They are to be consistently reverent. The Greek word for that is translated reverent here in my Bible is only used here in the entire Scriptures. I find that unique. It is describing a woman almost as a priestess. Reverent women are those who are faithfully obeying God. Their lives are characterized by fasting and prayer. The best example, I think, of a woman of that character in the New Testament would be that of Anna, who was 84 years old And it is said of her that she would be in the temple and that she was committed to serving through fasting and prayer. And she never left there. She was there all day long and even at night. And she is a great example to emulate, for she was a worshiper. She loved the Lord her God, and she loved God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. This kind of woman is highly respected for her reverence. People knew that she was close to God. People that are close to God are like a magnet to others. You know, over the years as a pastor, I've noticed how young women, young mothers, tend to gravitate towards the godly women in our church. Godly women in our church are like a magnet. They draw the younger women to them. And of course, that is important because young women want that kind of example. They want to learn from women who live righteous lives, that have godliness about them in their deportment. When the Old Testament priest went into the holy place to burn incense and to pray to the Lord, he returned with that fragrance of incense all about his body and upon his clothing. Likewise, a godly woman emits a glow and a fragrance of faithfulness in her life. Peter describes it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. He writes, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, the arranging of hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." Well, the second example of a woman aging gracefully is that they are very careful with their words. They're very careful with their words. Older women must not be slanderers, as the word states here in my English translation. This Greek word is a word, diabolos, which is translated 34 times in the New Testament as the devil. Satan is a supreme slanderer. In Revelations chapter 12, verse 10, he is called the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses them before God day and night, according to that passage. The word slander literally means to throw between. And that's exactly what Satan does. At the garden, Satan threw lies to Eve. His game plan was to throw stuff between people in order to ruin their relationship. Well, a wise woman watches her words, and she's careful not to throw words that divide people, that separate people. She's careful what words she uses and what she says to others. A wise woman watches her words, and we read this in Proverbs 16, verse 28. "A perverse woman sows strife, and a whisperer or slanderer separates the best of friends." Older women are to resist the urge to slander others or to use words that would divide and to be accusatory or would slander other people or separate friends. Paul cautions widows in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, not to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. My question to you, are you throwing stuff between people? Since there is nothing more Satan-like than a slanderer, I urge you all to be very careful with the words that you use, the words that you communicate to your friends. One of the characteristics of a godly woman is she's very careful with her words. She's very careful with her words. The third example of a woman aging gracefully is that she is very self-controlled. Older women are to avoid any kind of addiction. The phrase that we see in our Bible is to not be given to too much wine. That's how it's stated here in our text. There is so much addiction in our culture today. For women, one of the greatest addictions is pain medication. I probably have seen this more than any form of addiction that I've had to deal with as a pastor in relationship to women. The word addiction refers to enslavement or to being in bondage. A common characteristic of older women in ancient Rome and ancient Greek times was to drink to dull the pain of life and to occupy their empty lives. This is a danger to people, and it will destroy people's lives. It's a detriment to the church because it hinders and poisons any kind of spiritual impact. Paul wrote to the church in the book of Ephesians, and he states that we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And he states that we're not to be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, dear brother and sister in Christ, be filled with the Spirit. I encourage our mothers here today, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit and not by some substance that you think will make you happy and fill you with laughter. Don't pursue that dead end in life. The fourth example of a woman aging gracefully is that they are to be teachers of good things. Older women must be equipped to handle the unique temptations around them and at the same time be aware of teaching opportunities that they have. A woman who is aging gracefully will be very perceptive of those opportunities that God gives her to step in and to instruct a younger woman, to come alongside of a younger woman, and to teach her some good things about various aspects of godliness. And she will be very, very careful on how to handle the temptations of life. The word good refers to that which is inherently excellent and provides a positive benefit to others that are around. Older women can pass along what is beautiful and beneficial because of their excellent walking with God. A woman who is aging gracefully has inherited a propensity to be good and to do good. And so she can come along alongside of a younger woman and be able to instruct in that whole area of goodness. Well, we see that our passage teaches that a woman aging gracefully is an example to follow. Secondly, a woman aging gracefully has a mission to fulfill. The first point has to do with character. The second part here has to do with responsibility, with how to live out that character in her world. Well, take a look at verse 4 and 5. It reads as such, that they are to admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Well, older women are first to be a godly example before they can fulfill the mission that God has given them to others. You know, throughout my years of ministry, I've seen some women get this backwards. They want to be on mission, and they kind of neglect their godly character. Well, godly character needs to be formed and needs to be pursued as God opens up the door for godly opportunities and mission. If you, as an older woman, are wondering about your purpose in life, you need to look no further. It's right here. Your purpose is to pour yourself into younger women. The word admonish means to discipline, to train, to think, to act soberly. It is the idea of bringing someone to their senses. The word also describes the outfitting of a ship for a long voyage. In other words, older women have a strategic role of preparing younger women to be older women in godliness. They have a responsibility of helping younger women to age gracefully. It's important for us to understand as we look at this passage that Paul lists several things here, six principles that older women are to teach or to pass on to these younger women. And the first one has to do with the fact that they are to teach younger women to love their husbands. The tense of the verb love here in the passage means that the wives are to continually be affectionate towards their husbands. No matter what happens in life, young wives need to be trained to continually love their husbands. A wise woman once said, "The day you said I do, you chose your love. Since then, you have been learning to love your choice." It's a good statement, I believe. In our culture, people fall in love and get married, but in Titus' day, marriages were often arranged, and then couples had to learn to love each other. The advantage of this approach is that their love was founded upon commitment, not feelings. I'm afraid we're living in a day and age where couples are, their marriage is based on feelings, and when they no longer feel that they're in love with their spouse, they're ready to get a divorce. They're ready to separate. They're ready to call it quits. And how shameful and sinful that is. You know, love is a commitment. I often tell people that my grandparents knew one another for 2 weeks before they got married, and they stayed married all the days of their life. And they were an amazing couple. They had a commitment to one another through thick and thin. They were a farming couple out in Iowa, and they experienced a lot of ups and downs. But, you know, they loved the Lord, and their love for one another grew. And I believe their love for one another grew because of their love for the Lord. You know, true biblical love grows out of commitment, not emotion. You see, the word love is an action word. It's an action word. Secondarily, it involves emotion, but it's an action word. One way to reinforce your husband's significance is by following the example of the godly woman in Proverbs chapter 31. We don't have time to go there and to study this passage or to look at it in any detail, but I think verse 12 provides a good summary of a godly wife's desire for her husband. And it says this, "She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Do you think the best of your husband, and do you encourage him, and do you build him up? That's the question I'm asking you this morning, that God is asking you this morning from his word. Or are you like the woman of Proverbs 27, verse 15, where describes her as a continual dripping on a very rainy day. She's a contentious woman. How sad to be that kind of woman, a difficult woman to live with. You know, I read the story of a woman during testimony time at her church where she stood up and she said, "We're living in a wicked land where wickedness and sin is at every hand. And I've had a terrible week fighting against the devil." And then she sat down. And then her poor husband stood up and glumly said, "It's not all my fault. She hasn't been easy to live with either." You know, sometimes couples are like that. They are difficult to live with each other. Well, you know, being a godly spouse begins with you. It begins with you. Don't say to yourself, "Well, I'll start living godly once he or she starts living godly." You be responsible to obey the scriptures and to follow through with what God wants you to do and to be as a believer in Christ. We need wise wives who are in a marathon marriage to stand up and say, "It's not your love that sustains your commitment. It's your commitment that sustains your love." There's a difference there. It's your commitment to your spouse that sustains your love. Well, older women are to teach younger women to love their children. It's not easy to be a mother with young kids. That is why it's essential that older women provide some training in this area of family living. I appreciate the older women that came alongside of my wife when we were a young couple. There were many times she was frustrated as a young mother, and it was difficult to deal with our children at times. I will say, especially my son, he was a strong-willed child. He probably will listen to this, and I don't know if he'll remember all of that, but I would get calls from her, and she'd be in tears, and I would talk with my son on the phone, and I would say, "John, when I come home, we'll sit down and we'll talk on how you've been disrespectful to your mother, and I will deal with you when I get home." Well, you know, as a young father, I struggled too as well, and knowing how to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I appreciate that the older women who came alongside of my wife and the older men that came alongside of myself. That's the responsibility that our older men and women who are growing gracefully have in helping the younger. Well, older women are to teach younger women to be discreet. To be discreet is to be self-controlled. Younger women need to be trained to show self-restraint, to be steady, to have their priorities in place. And this is an area where I feel today that some young couples are just out of control. They want everything that their parents have, and they want it now. And they find it difficult to say no. They find it difficult to wait until they can afford it. And this is something that older women can teach the younger woman to be discreet, to be self-controlled, to be self-restraint. This involves the older women who are aging gracefully to get involved in young women's lives and to get to know them enough that you can have input into their life. Older women are to teach younger women to be chaste. This word chaste speaks of purity. A woman must observe premarital purity and postmarital fidelity. The writer of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 states this: marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. You know, part of purity is restricting what you read and restricting what you watch. There are so many TV shows that pervert the Bible's teaching on womanhood, that pervert the Bible's teaching on family. Remember 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, that is impurity, but to holiness." You need to be careful what you watch with your eyes, what you listen with your ears. So very important. I believe our culture today has become so compromised in this area that they're watching things that they don't realize how terrible it communicates, a view of life that is completely contradictory to the Scriptures. And it smacks the very face of God. Older women are to teach younger women to be homemakers. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 and 4 state this: through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You know, a woman has a significant part in bringing this proverb to life in her home. She can lift her home high and keep it healthy. She is the one who takes the initiative in that and the leadership in that. The woman in Proverbs 31 spent a fair amount of time outside the home. She was buying and selling and quite involved in the commerce of that day. But you will notice that her primary responsibility was to her home and to her family. We read in Proverbs chapter 7, the opposite character to that of a godly woman is a woman who is loud and rebellious, and her feet would not stay home. Well, an older woman is to teach the younger women to be good, to be good. Younger women also need training in goodness. The exhortation refers to being kind and tender-hearted. We read in 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, the characteristics of a good widow, which illustrates this point, and I want to take you there. Paul teaches Timothy that a good widow is well reported of good works. If she has brought up her children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the feet of saints, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. In other words, this woman who has aged gracefully has been a woman full of good works. A woman who reaches out, who blesses others. Older women are to teach younger women to be submissive. As part of loving her mate, a wife is to be submissive to her husband. The word submissive here means to be respectful. It means to be reverent of the position that God has placed your husband in as head of the home. The word submissive has to do with arrangement or lining up under. Both the husband and the wives are equal before God, but equal does not mean identical, nor does it mean interchangeable. It certainly does not imply subservience. God is most blessed in how he designed a home, with the husband having headship and having the responsibility on how the home goes. And he will be accountable before God and how he loves his wife and how the children are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think Paul was very wise here to have older women teach this instead of putting Titus in this position. Because an older woman who is aging gracefully can come alongside of a younger mother, a younger wife, and teach these kind of qualities. John Stott, I think, gives us a helpful perspective here. Within the equal value of the sexes, God has established a created order which includes a masculine headship, not of authority, but of responsibility and loving care. I kind of like the way he put that. It can be put in so many ways. A woman aging gracefully has a perspective to keep. That's our last point here for this morning. And we read this in verse 5, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's her perspective to keep. Women, it is important to remember that people are watching you. They're watching how you live out your faith. They're watching a lot of different aspects of your everyday life. The perspective that older women are to keep is the part they play in helping younger women to obey the Word of God. You know, God gives us all the principles we need to live out a godly life. He teaches us in His Word how we are to pursue holiness, how we are to be good husbands and good wives, and to be good parents, and how children are to obey their parents. Everything we need is found here in the Word of God. And we are to live out the principles that we learn from the Word of God in our everyday life. J.B. Phillips says that women who live out these principles are a good advertisement for the Christian faith. And how true that is. And that is true of godly men who live out their lives based upon the principles of God's Word. They are tremendous advertisements of the Christian faith. Probably what created in me a hunger and thirst for spiritual things was the godliness that I saw in the people, the older people in my church when I first came to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I wanted to be like them. I wanted godly families like them. You can't underestimate the influence that a woman aging gracefully has upon those around her. As someone once said, show me your redeemed life and I might be inclined to believe in your Redeemer. Let me tell you, the belief in my Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, increased all the more as I attended that Baptist church in Fruitland, Iowa, when I first became a believer in watching the lives of godly men and women around me. It just drove me to the Scriptures. It just gave me that desire to be the kind of people that they were as they grew their love for the Lord, as I desired to grow that kind of love for the Lord as well. Well, there's some action steps that you can take as a woman. You can take advantage of the women opportunities that we have here at the church. And eventually this pandemic is going to be over with. I know that there's a Thursday ladies Bible study that is now continuing online. You can get involved in that. You can give me a call and I can let you know how to access that. You can look for practical ways to train younger women. You older ladies, you could come alongside of one or two younger women and just stick to them like glue and be a part of their lives and be there for encouragement and nurturing. These are mentoring challenges that are available to you if you're willing to take them on. You don't want to force yourself on another person, but make yourself available and spend some time and get to know some of the younger women in our church. Well, my mother did not know the Lord until later in life. My wife, Celia, shared the gospel with her, and she prayed and made a profession of faith in Christ. You know, and I was very, very happy to hear that when my wife shared it with me, and I followed up and speaking to my mother about it, and she communicated to me her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what she and Celia had talked about. You know, here we have younger women who are aging gracefully, reaching out to older women who desperately need Christ, just as my wife reached out to an older woman. I thank God every day for the women who are aging gracefully in our church. I see them coming alongside of our younger women. And I see a great ministry that is going on in our local church. And it's a ministry that is happening supernaturally. It's not the result of a program that we put together, but it's a Holy Spirit-driven ministry that is taking place in our church. And it's such a blessing to me. I would encourage you, dear mothers, fathers, friends that are out there listening to this lesson this morning, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Him alone for your salvation? Being a good person is not enough to open the doors to heaven. The best and greatest person that is listening to this lesson this morning isn't access into heaven. There are so many people that I've met over the years that thinking, if I keep doing good things, God will give me the nod and let me into heaven. You know, if I keep giving to God this or keep giving to God that, if I keep doing good here or keep doing good there, then God will let me into His heaven. Listen, those things that you might do are beneficial to others, but listen, this is all about faith. The gospel is all about faith. Jesus says that there is no access into the presence of the Father except through Him. The action that you need to take is to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, every one of us is a sinner. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. No matter how many good things that we do, we're all sinners. And that sin separates us from a holy God. And the only way that sin can be dealt with is through the sacrificial death of Christ. As I've shared with you, He met all the qualifications of a perfect, righteous life. And His sacrifice upon the cross appeased the wrath of Almighty God against sinners. And now the gospel goes out. And what you need to do is simply respond to it and believe. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Acts 16 simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, salvation is a free gift. You can't work your way to heaven. And the only door into heaven is through Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I know that some of you might be thinking, well, someday maybe I will do this. But God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My friend, don't put off tomorrow what you need to do today. You need to trust Christ. I can't think of anything greater than to see someone listening to this message this morning on this beautiful Mother's Day come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, friend, is there anything keeping you from trusting Jesus Christ right now? You know, right where you are, wherever you are listening to this lesson on this Mother's Day, you can bow your head and you can talk to God in your own words and you can tell God, God, I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your only begotten Son, and I believe that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I believe in him. I want to be saved. And you know, God will save you. Just like that. That happened to me, and it happened to people in our church here. It's happened to people all around this world, and you probably have friends that you know that it's happened to them too as well. Don't put it off. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I want to take a moment and just bow our heads and give you an opportunity to trust in Christ. In fact, I will lead you in a prayer on this Sunday morning, and you can pray along with me from your heart. These words are similar words. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I come to you now. I know that I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for me and rose from the grave. Right now, I repent of my sin. And I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I now have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, my friend, if you prayed just now, and that was from your heart, you're a believer. You are part of the body of Christ. You are now a brother or a sister in Christ. And your life is going to begin to change. And if you're not local here, I would encourage you to begin to find a good Bible-believing church. I know you're probably not able to assemble with that church right now, but at least you can make a call and begin to make connections with that church. And you can maybe purchase a Bible online and begin to read it. I would encourage you to read the Gospel of John and circle or underline every time you come to the word believe. It's a precious book. And then maybe read the book of Philippians. It's a book of joy. It's a tremendous thing to feed on the Word of God. The Word of God is like spiritual food for the believer. And you'll begin a journey like you've never been on in all of your life. And let me tell you, You'll find yourself one day with all God's people in a new heavens and a new earth in a wonderful city called the New Jerusalem. And you'll be there for all eternity. I'll close with these words for those of you who may have trusted Christ. Jesus says in John 5, verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." My friend, you are no longer spiritually dead. You have spiritual life now. And what a joy it would be to know that. I would hope you would share it with me if you're close enough. You could call here at the church and leave a message. It's a wonderful thing to be a believer in Christ. I hope everyone listening to this message is a believer in Christ. If you're not, trust him. Trust him before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words to us this morning from the Holy Scriptures. I thank you for Paul's encouragement to a young pastor by the name of Titus with these exhortations concerning women growing gracefully and their character and their mission that you have given them. May our women here in the church grow that kind of godly character and take upon themselves that mission to teach other women because of the Word of God, how true it is and how important it is and how powerful it is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.